Record on this computer. All right, we're recording. So this is the Pony Sync for, I was about to say, I don't know what the date is, but then as Andrew would know, yes, I actually really do know the date because it's an important day for me. But anyway, this is October 1st, 2019. We have three of us here today, and the sync is going to be a little different than others, but our beginning will be the same. We're going to have everybody introduce themselves. I'm Sean Allen. The other two folks on the call could introduce themselves. That would be great.
Joe McElwain from Greenspace.
And Andrew.
From Urban Space. Zone 3 Space. How about that? Okay. So normally we go through issues, RFCs, et cetera, and whatnot on this. But today, what we're really going to talk about is we're going to talk about... So, Joe, while you were off, with the new childness. I don't know if you saw, but that LOVM7 bug, there's a patch now in for against LOVM in order to fix and take care of that, right? And this raised an issue that we needed to discuss, and we kind of put this off previously for how we'd want to go about doing this. So, and we kind of need to pick a thing that we're going to do. So we had no way right now to incorporate that fix back in and have it in like pre-built ponies or something where anybody could easily use without having a patch. Because even with the vendored LLVM that we do right now, that's just pulling in from the LLVM repo. So, we need to have like some type of conversation around things that we could do is we could have our own fork of the LLVM repo, right, on GitHub that we periodically update with stuff from upstream as we need it. Like, for example, you know, if somebody wanted to start working on LLVM 8 or 9 support, like Gordon is actually doing right now, if he had wanted to come along and do, we could have had it like it was up to date with LLVM 7, for example, let's say, let's use that as a point. And he could have pulled in work for 8 or 9 as needed. And then if there was an update for additional stuff on like an LLVM 7 branch or whatever, we could pull it in and in order to keep ourselves up to date on a semi-regular basis and then pick up those changes. And this would also allow us, if we did this, to be able to patch our own version so that in the rare case, but we did have this come up recently, where there is an LLVM bug that impacts on Pony, like the crashing one that we had there. I don't remember the number off the top of my head right now, where we submit a patch upstream in order to fix the thing. We could have that downstream for our own stuff and fix the bug for Pony users, and it could go out as we start building with Pony C with vendored LLVM for our releases, have that go out for releases, and folks could also build the source or whatnot. That's one possible thing that we could do. We could maintain patches that we apply over what we currently have, which is the just, it's just using the regular LLVM repo, and we could have patches that people could apply if they want to on their own, and we could potentially apply these patches when we do releases. And the only real advantage this gets us over having our own fork is that we don't have to update it as we go along. And then in those rare situations where we do need a patch, we could figure out some type of way to apply them. Or we could just simply decide that, you know what, when we find a bug in LLVM, it's going to continue to exist in Pony until such time as it's fixed upstream, right? So like our assumption here would be is that at some point there would be a new LLVM 7 release which would incorporate that fix. But there's no guarantee that would be the case. It might be that it only makes it into like an LLVM 8 or 9. You know, in the future, or LLVM 10 when it comes out, and that, you know, that we would, in order to pick up that fix, we would have to move to a different LLVM version and potentially pick up, you know, any bugs that are there. So really the question is what do we, as the Pony team, want to do in scenarios like this? And so, yeah, I'll throw it open to thoughts from you, Joe, because you and I are on the core team with the most important, but also Andrew, who's on the call, and see if he has any thoughts as well on this.
So I also was just kind of looking briefly at how Rust does this. And actually, it's a little bit confusing to me because I see that they have a fork, but it contains nothing but a README, and there's some kind of submodule magic going on there.
Yeah, I mean, we have the same thing. We have a submodule. Theirs is a submodule to a fork that they maintain, right? And that they update periodically.
Well, what's interesting is that when I look at their fork, it looks like it's empty except for a README. Do you understand that magic?
They might have changed what they're doing since the last time I looked.
Okay.
Do you have a link that you can send to what you're looking at that you can drop into the chat here?
I understand. Yeah, I'll send the link here in the chat. I understand now what they're doing. The master branch is not used. They're just using pinned branches. I think they're using branches that are pinned to the Rust version. So each Rust version has a branch in this repo that's a fork of the main repo.
Yeah, and they bring in whichever particular one that they're going to be using. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So it's basically it's their own fork, and they bring in and they can do any work that they need to on there, and they import like they would start. They can start a entirely new version based on some particular version of LLVM, right? And then they update in that fashion. Right, and can bring in changes as needed.
Yeah, so I guess one question that comes to mind is like, do we think we'll ever need to maintain, so let's say we did a fork, right? Do you think we need to maintain different revisions of LLVM for different versions of PonyC, or think we'd more likely just say, okay, only the latest version of PonyC is supported?
Well, given that we're pre 1.0, right? Yeah. I don't think that we would need to maintain different versions of LLVM for different versions of Pony. Well, it depends on what you mean by maintain. I think we would want to be able to the repo that we have, we want to be able to go back at any point in time and say, I want to rebuild Pony version blah, right? Mm-hmm. Using the LLVM that existed at the time it was built with, so that people who might be stuck on that for some reason could do it, or bisect in order to find bugs, or just otherwise, you know, whatever it is that they might need to do. Like, just for example, it's like, hey, I've written a Pony application. I don't have time to upgrade it yet. I should still be able to build blah version of like Pony, right? It shouldn't be that when a new version of Pony comes out, you immediately can't build the old version, you know?
Right. With all that in mind, I would lean toward saying that we maintain patch files in our repository, and that we have some kind of like CI that tells us whether the patch is applying cleanly to the latest version of LLVM, or it seems like we'd want to track along with the latest patch version of LLVM, right? So the latest, the third place in the three dots. I might be articulate about it, but like, you know, you've got x dot y dot z. Every time z changes, I assume we'd want to track along with that, usually, unless it caused problems and we needed to pin it down. So I guess we want to like have some kind of CI that says, okay, does the patch apply cleanly to the latest x.y.z version? And, and does PonyC actually work, I guess, when, does our test suite work when you pull that in? So that way, like, we're always supporting the latest patch version of LLVM unless we decide to pin that for some reason. And we don't have to do any work to update the repo for that unless something breaks.
Update what repo for what?
Well, any repo, right? So the idea being that, like, so 7 dot, do they even do patch versions anymore? Sorry, I'm touching my LLVM version.
Yes, they do. They do. So, but are you imagining then, like, I'm trying to, what is the process? If I want to build, if let's say there's a patch, right? And I want to build PonyC. Do I need to apply this patch myself to LLVM? How does that work?
I would expect that our patches would get applied as part of the vendored LLVM makefile that we have, right? We have that vendored LLVM makefile that Wink wrote that pulls in the LLVM source and builds it and uses it to build PonyC. And so I would expect the patches to get applied automatically as part of that process.
So the thing that I don't like about that is that this then has to happen every single time we do a CI thing, every time something builds or whatnot, as compared to if we apply a patch file once per version that would exist, right? And then we don't really have to necessarily worry about it again. But I think what I'm guessing what you're thinking there is that, So I think those are two potentially competing ideas. Like, and I'm interested why you'd go for the basically every single time application of the patch versus let's do one time for the patch and then we could reapply that patch anytime there is a new version of LLVM that comes out that needs it, but we only do it then. And I guess we'd have like our own. It would be like, hey, here's our LLVM repo that has like let's say we went from LLVM 7 to LLVM 7.0.1. That's what's happening, right? And we had a patch that would needed to be applied to both of them. I'd imagine we'd have like, here's LLVM 7.0.0 pony patch, whatever, applied to it. And then when 7.0.1 comes out for LLVM, we could import that and have it be now like it's L, when we apply the patch, then we have LLVM 7.0.1 pony patch, right? And we update the PonyC repo to switch to using the 7.0.1 pony patch from 7.0.0. Then there's nothing during the actual building or anything that could possibly go wrong, whereas as compared to applying the patches every single time. That to me feels like it's less problematic, but you have the different ideas, so I'm really interested in hearing about what you're imagining, why applying the patch each time would be better, and yeah, just...
So, can you refresh my memory on right now the vendored LLVM? Are we building are we like pre-building that somewhere in like a Docker image or somewhere where it's being, you know, pre-built and not building all the other time?
No, it's a Git sub module, right? And it will import the Git sub module, and it, you know, it checks out to a, you know, being a sub module, it's pinned to a specific SHA, right? And you could, if you know how to, you could change that SHA, but otherwise the way that like, that if we wanted to switch from LLVM 7 to LLVM 7.1 or LLVM 8 or 9 as the default that everybody gets, we would change the where the submodule is pointing in the PonyC repo so that when somebody runs that make thing, it would update.
Yeah. Just to make sure that my thinking is correct, we're already building LLVM each time that we're testing that in CI, right? We're building LLVM every single time.
Yes, every single time for LLVM, we test the process from beginning to end for building. Me as an end user who uses the vendored LLVM all the time when I build Pony now, it does not get rebuilt each time for me because I have the, I still have the artifact files that are there on my computer for the LLVM one, and I don't, you know, make clean on the LLVM stuff, right? You know, very often, except when I'm like, you know, poking at LLVM changes specifically.
Okay.
And Andrew, I think you had something you wanted to bring up.
Yeah. So this only really needs to happen when there's a bug that we want to, or behavior we want to change in within LLVM.
Yes.
Ideally, we'd be building off the release or tagged versions of LLVM anyway.
Yes. Yes.
So the occasions where this needs to happen should be comparatively rare.
Yes. Dear God, I hope so.
Yeah. Yes. But it's not restricted to LLVM. Anything we depend on can have this problem. So if we have a way of handling have a pattern for that sort of dependency, with patches, then it makes sense to stick to the same pattern.
So LLVM is the only dependency which is vendored in right now. So if there was a bug in something else which was a dependency, we have no way to address that right now. Unless we went through that same vendoring process, which, oh lordy, that sounds pretty bad and awful. In all likelihood, the only thing that this is likely to come up with anything other than a once in a lifetime thing would be LLVM.
Okay. Still, we want.
I still think your basic point still generally stands for everything else. Yeah.
Yes, and we want to be building against, tagged release versions or whatever, a fixed version that doesn't change much, because then we get stable builds. But you're right, and we want to record which version we're building against, so that we can bisect or work out how a bug was introduced.
Yeah, I think that is a point there. If we do the patching, Joe, right? There's no easily reviewable thing to know what that LLVM actually looked like, right? With the on the fly patching,
you'd still have the traceability of, like, the original SHA that it came from, and the patch, content at the time that it was built, right?
So how would we know that the patch content at the time?
You go back to the
because you're
the Pony C repo, right?
Because the patches are stored in the Pony C repo, right?
That if you check out a version of Pony, check out a specific commit of Pony C, from the repo, then you would build that deterministic, based on the SHA of the LLVM version and the patch content in the repo at that time, that's known to be compatible with that. I mean, that's the main reason why I favor that option is just because it keeps all of that kind of in one repository where it could be easily combined with other stuff. Like, so let's say that, Dipin introduces like a change to the garbage collector that for some reason needs like a different, it uncovers a bug in LLVM or something like that, and we need to merge in the LLVM patch too, right? So I kind of like the idea of keeping the LLVM patch in the same repo as the commit where you're introducing the thing that it goes with. Although you could argue that if there's like an LLVM bug that we're fixing, it never really goes with the Pony C bug, so maybe that point is moot. Like, if there's an LLVM bug, it has nothing to do with Pony, and so it doesn't belong in a Pony pull request anyway. So maybe that's true.
So I'm imagining though then that the way this would work is these patches, the patches exist in some folder, right? They have some name, and we apply the patches in some order via the standard makefile stuff for the vendor at LLVM, right? And the way we would know which patches are being applied and which are active is at any particular point where we check out the PwnC repo, we can see what are the patches that are being applied in the makefile for the actual building that we have for building of LLVM. And realistically, from what we expect, I would imagine there's never more than one or two of these, right? Right, okay. So the thing which is interesting here to think about for this is that our makefile in PwnC, because we're using a submodule for LLVM, is completely independent from the particular LLVM version that's being used. This is nice because it means that if I want to start working on LLVM 9, right, I can change the LLVM version. I can change where the submodule LLVM SHA is and just start working. And there would be a disconnect in this case between the makefile and that. But normally this would be fine because for a normal non-Pony committer making these changes process, what I would do is if I want to change the LLVM version, I change the SHA that the submodule is pointing at, and as part of that commit, if there are patches which are no longer applicable, I would remove them from our makefile. So it's kind of a two-step thing there. So I think that for a normal end user in normal building, that's fine. They're not quite completely in sync by doing it this way, but that only impacts on people who are specifically working on doing something for a different version of LLVM using this. And that is such a rare case for most folks that it feels like having that tiny bit of disconnect where it could try to, if you're not aware of this happening, it could try to apply an incorrect patch to whatever one you're doing, doesn't seem overly problematic to me. Also, by the way, that was me explaining one little bit there and mostly working through it in my head.
Right, yeah. The one thing that's troubling me about my suggestion is the idea that this patching process would probably there's not like necessarily a clean way to patch a submodule. Like submodule is expected to be the same source code from the other Git repo, just embedded in the repository. And so applying the patch probably means copying that submodule subdirectory.
Nope. You don't have to do that at all. I work in the submodule directory all the time after checking it out. Yeah, there's not a problem with applying that patch there.
Okay.
What would end up happening though is that if you were to traverse into the directory for the submodule, right, it sees that it's been modified and you could attempt to push back, right, against the other repo, right? But otherwise it's fine. You can sit there and tweak it to your heart's content. I know, because when I've been looking at LLVM things and whatnot and playing around with stuff, I do that all the time. So actually applying the patch would be fine. But this doesn't create any problem that's not already there with using the vendored one for trying to fix bugs or otherwise doing LLVM specific changes in that vendor directory.
Yeah. So I think actually with that in mind, I think it actually makes it really nice to develop for, so I guess there'd be two classes of patches we want to apply, right? Ones that were, that somebody else solved our problem and it's waiting to be merged in. And we just to apply that patch early before the LLVM maintainers do it, or patches that we write ourselves. And for that latter case, the developer experience of doing that, I think, is somewhat improved by this option, because you write the patch in place and then you
in, in, in Pony.c, it can be submitted. It's run through our normal CI process. You don't have to do a PR specifically against our special LLVM repo. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an improvement. I don't think it's any worse either.
Okay.
But well, I mean, that,
I'm fine with either one. So if I haven't convinced you, then I'm fine with your approach as well.
Well, no, I think so. My worry was the doing it every time one, right? But my counterpoint to that always in my head was pretty much what Andrew brought up, which is this should almost never be happening, right? This should be a really rare thing. We did the vendoring work last year, and this is, and we didn't have to even have this conversation until like 10 months later when there was one book, right? And realistically, if we have this happen more than once a year, I think that would be really astounding. And so I feel like the patch approach seems fairly clean now, thinking about the way that you're talking about it, Joe, right? Unlikely to have problems. Applying a patch in the end should be a really quick thing. And we have a mechanism for controlling like how the patches get applied, which I think I hadn't really thought about, which seems pretty clean if we do it in the make file and whatnot. And the make file can change along with the submodule SHA. And it just seems like it's better. We're not taking on infrastructure where we always have to keep maintaining this forked LLVM repo. Right. Which is work that we have to do all the time for something that is probably, as Andrew said, is almost never going to happen.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah, I feel like that's a good, reasonable, way to go about doing it.
Cool.
Awesome. Woo. Awesome. Did you see, by the way, Gordon said that there seems to be only one bug that he can find for LLVM 9. He mentioned that in the sync Zulip stream.
I didn't see
right,
it.
Right before this.
That's crazy.
Yes. So I think that would be great. This could be moot for the 7.1 potentially, right? And maybe we can get this together and in the next month or two we could jump straight to LLVM 9.
Yeah, skip right over 8.
Skip right over 8, yeah. So this raises a second LLVM question, right? So different things like OpenBSD. Yes, OpenBSD. I was like, for a moment, my brain was like, no, that's wrong. It's Open Free BSD. And they're like, no brain. That's really definitely wrong. So OpenBSD, they use their own modified version of LLVM, which is there for an entire release. It's for that, and so like there is no Pony.c again available in OpenBSD because we don't support LLVM 8, right? For any specific Linux distro, it may or may not be difficult in order to get a specific version of LLVM, right? I was thinking as part of this that as part of doing all of this with LLVM is that we should have one supported version of LLVM or maybe two at the most, but really I'd like to start from the idea of one and that we do not fix bugs related to older ones. If we're supporting LLVM 9 and there is a bug where we need to make changes to the Pony.c code base only for LLVM 7, for example, we don't make that change at this point and that we try to move with a single LLVM version for now. Perhaps in the future when we are a bigger project with more people, we could revisit that, you know, like even which is, but like handling more than one of those right now seems like a bit of a waste of resources to me, particularly when we're not even at 1.0 yet, right? Where we need to really make assurances about like breaking stuff or whatnot. Which would then also allow us to, you know, start stripping out support as we move forward to for older versions of LLVM, which I think would make it much easier to understand the code that is working with LLVM. I know when I was looking at this particular bug that led to this conversation about the, you know, how do we handle patches, it was occasionally complicated because of all the older LLVM version stuff in there. It's like, is this actually correct? Is it not correct? Like, you know, where it says, for LLVM, for like it says like if like we have code in there where it's like for LLVM versions greater than 7 or greater than 6, you want to do this, and you start to get into this scenario where you're like, is that still actually applicable in this case? Should that be there, right? Was this intentional or whatnot? Like, is this now invalid? Is this something that was potentially missed during a port? It raises these sorts of questions, which I think are, with the number of people that we have right now, are probably kind of just, it's just a little bit of extra weight. So I wanted to see your opinion in particular, Joe, on the idea of like, hey, when we introduce LLVM 9, we start dropping support for like the previous versions of LLVM.
And so on platforms where, you know, let's say LLVM 8 is only available, we would
you use the vendored one, right? Yeah. It might take a bit longer because you have to build LLVM on your machine, but you use the vendored LLVM, and we start pushing people towards using the vendored anyway, which is something we had talked about.
Yeah, I'm okay with all of that. I think it makes sense from a pragmatic. I mean, like it's like ideally we would support all the versions of all the things, you know, in terms of ideal for the user. But you know, based on the pragmatic, you know, needs of how to spend the team's time, I think it makes sense.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Andrew?
I didn't catch enough of that last bit, so don't worry.
Okay. All right. That's a very Sean answer. I didn't catch enough of it. Don't worry about it. That's a thing that I do on a semi-regular basis. Hey, Theo, when did you join?
Recorded, right? Your answer is being recorded. You say, I neither approve nor disapprove of that message.
Theo joined. Theo, when did you join? He's not saying anything.
Still hasn't joined, apparently.
Yeah, well, his mic needs to be retested.
His mic is not muted. Oh, wow. It says there's sound coming from him, but I can't hear it. Can you?
I hear crackling and fizzing and buzzing.
The little green mic is showing that.
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
I forgot that my other pair of headphones is broken.
Yeah. How long have you been on the call for you?
Only about 10 or 15 minutes, but I can't talk too much.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, hello. All right. So then this would be my thought, Joe, right? We don't do the patch thing now, but we've made a decision for this for the future, and we just try to get LLVM 9 done.
Yeah.
That seems like a better use of time.
Yes.
Than getting the patch thing done. I might not have a lot of time over the next couple months for, you know, reasons that we discussed before before we started recording. We could talk to Gordon and see if Gordon wants us to try and get any help for finishing 9 off or not. We could find out from him. And if he did, we could like put out a call in Zulip in the last week in Pony to try and bring that home. And then maybe for like the next release or the release thereafter, we could have a LLVM 9.
Yeah, if it's that close to being ready, I think I could probably make the time for it.
He says he has one FFI bug, yeah. Is what he said in the thing. So if that's the case and that could be in the next release, that would be awesome. And I think what we could do is we could leave support for the other stuff in there, right? For basically one version, right? And then as part of the release say, hey, we're going to be removing code for support for anything other than LLVM 9. In future versions, this is what we're going to do going forward, blah, 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 et cetera. You basically have this is how life will change for you, but we're not just changing it out from underneath you immediately, right?
Yeah.
Which gives folks a chance. Because I know, for example, Wallaroo is still on LLVM 391.
Fun.
I mean, it works.
Yeah.
There's only one bug that I know of in Wallaroo doesn't trigger it. So I'm sure there are all of the LLVM 391 bugs that other programs could, but and even people using Wallaroo as a framework could. But yeah, not that bad. Okay. All right. On the other hand, I might not be super busy. We'll find out. Okay. Hey, how about that? 45 minutes. We didn't cover any issues or anything or whatnot, but that's fine. We can get those next time. This is definitely something that we needed to work through and address, and I think we have a good feel for what we do there. So I'm very happy. Anybody who's on the call, do you have anything you want to bring up before we call an end to this? Anything you want to discuss?
Nothing else from me.
Joe?
Nope. Hello, everyone. Goodbye, everyone.
All right, then. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and I'm going to stop recording now.